Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Board of Education, Westview Unified School District Board of Education meeting, November 13th, 2007. This evening's meeting was open at 6:30. We adjourned to closed session and regular session at 7 o'clock. We'll start this evening with an invocation led by Ms. Apollos and flexible by Mr. Spencer. Please rise.
Dear Lord, thank you for all that you've given us and for all the students that we have the opportunity to educate on a daily basis. Be with us as we make decisions that affect their lives. In his name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Mr. Cox?
Yes. Here.
Mr. Spence?
Here.
Mr. Schumacher?
Here.
Mr. Fuller?
Here.
Mrs. Polis?
Here.
Mrs. Ron?
Here.
Mrs. Davis?
Here.
This is always a special time of the year. Late November, fall, county fair is over, and we have an opportunity to recognize some of our participants from the school district who participated in the LA County Fair competitions. And tonight we're honoring the winners of the writing competition at the county fair. And we are very proud that several of our students captured first place and have won special recognitions in theme and a very special one, and we'll get to that in a minute, in the Thumber Awards. So, you have the. Okay.
They're working to stay outside.
Oh, okay. Yeah, afterwards, after we present these, we'll go out and maybe take a look at the awards out front so maybe they can show us some of the awards that they've done. First this evening is Priscilla Hernandez. Come on up. Thank you.
You're here anyway.
Cheers, all on.
This is a lot.
No, that's true. Good job. See, we get used to you.
You know, when I show up here, it's like there's so many people here anyway that.
Oh, yeah. It's a packed house.
Hey, delegates voted, not me, man. I voted for Hunter.
Sure.
But the wrong people. I mean, this show's different. State Senator Sandman, Coleman Strickland. Another former state senator, leaders of a couple of evangelical groups that actually joined the meeting. The times some people had two girls on their cell phone line and two old people from the state area. So it's like. Oh, did he? No, that's right. Vote for him. But, you know, on the second ballot, some of the people that dropped off.
Calculus.
And I think part of it was just because of the campaign what it did. You had a campaign that cared about it and then one that clearly didn't.
We're still doing derivatives, but with other stuff.
And it seems that another organization I have a contract with, and there's 5 centers, not in good shape. Not in great shape. I'm a great kid.
Oh, then I didn't.
Actually, there was someone that started for Joe Delaney that during his presentation he took a phone call. It's a joke. No, it's a joke during the presentation. He goes, I'll just a minute. And I was, that's a joke. Because
okay.
I knew it was going to get it. But yeah, so
that was. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, it doesn't work. It doesn't work time and time again.
Yeah, especially when
we
come to the family,
we
call it every time.
Anyway, so that was. So yeah, exactly. Same day. Same day. Thompson, I did that. Oh, so now you're a doper?
Oh my God.
Okay, we are back in session, and the next item on our agenda, or the, shall I say, the next presentation we have this evening is from Brad Manning from, getting real close to Ken there just a second, but Brad Manning from West Covina High School, how data informs decision making to achieve the goals of West Covina High School.
I didn't say that. You said you wanted to know.
The cheerleaders did ask if they could come today, but thought it might take up too much time. I'd also like to, at this time, introduce, and I don't know that you had an opportunity to meet my new dean. This is Gregory Perez, and I can introduce him. We also have, although not new to West Covina High School, new to my secretarial position, and tonight, Diane Bernhardt. And I'd like to thank them for coming tonight. As you know, one of my assistant principals gave birth, and so she's out for a few days, literally. We have one that's up in Sacramento at the Closing the Gap Conference, and one is celebrating, I guess, going through Mama's practice tonight. So, although tonight is Greg's son's birthday, he has graciously accepted the challenge of beating my finger man. So I'll get started. Mr. Cox, School Board, Ms. Castillo, Cabinet, and audience. It is my privilege to present West Covina's plan to increase student achievement based upon the analysis of our data and formal evaluation of our educational program. West Covina High School is a school on the move that currently ranks in the top 30% of all schools in California and in the top 10% of similar schools. For this, we are rightfully proud. We are constantly above the state mean, but we are not satisfied with being above average. And we won't feel truly satisfied until our state ranking is attained. West Covina High School is in full alignment with the district's goals of exceeding 800 on our API by the year 2010 and exceeding the proficiency rates in both English language arts and mathematics. The process of analyzing our program is based upon evaluating our data, asking the essential questions of where do we go, where do we need to focus our attention, identify our target areas for improvement, evaluate our current programs, and create action plans to address those areas of need. I shall start by analyzing our API, which is made up primarily of the California State Content Exams in English Language Arts, Mathematics, Science, and Social Studies. And I will be going through these individually, and although we have had areas where we have improved, unfortunately, all of our significant subgroups declined, nearly all of our significant subgroups declined, and our API went down by 10 points. We have spent the last part of the summer and early fall analyzing this data and looking for results of why we didn't improve. I'd like to keep this in perspective, however, and although it went down, it has risen 114 points since 2001, and we've increased our scores 5 of the last 7 years. West Covina teachers have worked hard to ensure they are teaching to the standards and have in place processes to ensure our students succeed. With this being said, we are hard at work addressing this, and we will feel we have a solid plan to get us to 800 by 2010. As we look at our English Language Arts CSP results, in 2007, 45% of our English language students scored proficient or advanced, which remained the same as last year. The percentage of ninth grade students in English Language Arts scored proficient or advanced has increased significantly by 18 points since 2004, while the other grades have stayed basically the same. Nearly a third of all English language arts students scored at the basic level, which means we have a real potential to move these students to proficiency. Looking at our math CSP results, 21% of our math students scored proficient or above or advanced on the math CSP, which is 1% less than last year's school-wide goal. School-wide result, excuse me. Our scores have grown from 13 to 21% since 2004. We are improving, unfortunately not last year, but we recognize that we need to pick up the pace. Therefore, mathematics is a school-wide focus for us. Taking a look at science CSP results, 29% of our science students scored proficient or advanced in science school-wide, up slightly from last year. We are encouraged by the improvement by our socioeconomically disadvantaged and students with disabilities students in both earth science and biology. And our African-American and Hispanic subgroups have increased their proficiency rates, but still fail to meet school-wide percentages. Because we have such a high number of students at the basic level, this is another area where we feel we have great potential to improve our proficiency rate. Looking at our social science CST results, 35% of our social studies students scored proficient or advanced on their CST, down 6% overall from last year. World history remained stable, but we had an 11% decrease in students scoring proficient or advanced in U.S. history. Significant subgroups indicate the same general trend. Again, we show a lot of potential growth in this area, with a number of our students scoring in the basic performance range. Taking a look at our census CAISY results. And looking at the CAISY results, we are looking only at the initial test of our sophomores on the CAISY exam. In order to pass, students must score 350 or better on the English Language Arts and Math exams. Our English Language Arts pass rate is currently 82%, and our math pass rate is 80%. Although these rates are high, they have remained stable the past few years, and we will be looking to improve these performances this year. Comparing our results to surrounding schools that have higher pass rates, we have found that writing is an area that we need to improve in order to increase our pass rate. Taking a look at our annual measurable objectives, when analyzing our AMOs, we again are analyzing our census CAISY results, but instead of looking at a pass rate of 350, which students need to graduate, students must score 380 to be considered proficient. Our proficiency rates are well above our AMO targets for both the 2007 and 2008 school years, and we are close to surpassing our total target goals in both English language arts and math for the year 2010. Our students with disabilities did increase their scores this past year. After analyzing our data and looking at our school-wide scores, subgroups and subject areas, we've come up with these areas to focus our attention on. We are looking at our English learners, students with disabilities, students scoring below proficiency, improving census KC pass rates, and the course mathematics. We feel many of our interventions will cross these areas, therefore giving us the best bang for our buck. My wife does not like that term, by the way. We have looked at our data and have identified our target areas for support. Now we need to evaluate our program in regards to these target areas. The indicators that we have looked to help us guide our actions include taking a look at our master schedule, the number of students who have access to A to G courses, our curriculum and instruction assessment alignment, and our pacing guides, the analysis of benchmark assessments, implementation of differentiated instruction, the effectiveness of our various intervention programs, the effectiveness of our grade level and subject collaborations during content roundtables, the analysis of self-proficiency scores, number of students on course to graduate, and teacher credentialing, authorization, and NICLB compliance. In alignment with the district goals of greater monitoring of teaching and learning, we have set these processes in action. Each administrator is meeting with their assigned teachers to ensure teachers' roles and objectives reflect school and district goals. The administration will be out in classrooms observing teachers both formally and informally on their stated goals and give appropriate feedback and guidance where needed. Each administrator is meeting with their departments to address the alignment of their pacing guides to the state's released blueprints. Each administrator will work with their departments and teachers to better analyze the results of benchmark assessments and monitor the use of classroom techniques such as checking for understanding and proper closure techniques. Each administrator will work with teachers on proper reteaching techniques to address those areas students didn't get the first time. In addition to these in-class interventions, we'll be identifying students who are underperforming and giving them targeted help after school. Taking a look at our professional development, we will continue to focus on literacy as a school-wide objective with writing as a major emphasis in order to improve state scores and proficiency rates. As previously mentioned, we will continue to focus on differentiated instruction. I'm not quite sure that we previously mentioned that since I cut out anything. Forget that. Focus on differentiated instruction as a school-wide focus. Ms. Tolman presented at the kickoff breakfast this year. Afterwards, she spent half the day at West Covina High School presenting to our teachers, and we have followed this up by having a cadre of teachers attend teachers as trainer meetings, and we will continue to focus on this throughout the year. We continue to have teachers who are at all levels of proficiency in analyzing data, and we will continue to work with our district to provide this training to our staff. In addition to the district's bits of training, we provide our own Bulldog 101, in which my assistant principal meets with our new teachers and in-services them throughout the year. This has included data analysis, classroom visits, instructional strategies, and classroom management. We will provide support for teachers in the areas of instruction or classroom management or in any strategy either they believe they need help in or where we see they need assistance. Improving teaching and learning. In addition to all that I've stated about our school-wide focus on differentiated instruction, reassessing our alignment in the curriculum to the state standards and our data analysis, we are providing appropriate assistance to teachers where it is needed and warranted. We are ensuring that both teachers and students have the technology to aid their quest to both teach and learn. The administration is evaluating our current intervention programs, such as BOOST, MASH, and our before and after school tutoring programs for their effectiveness. We are also creating a targeted intervention for freshmen and sophomores to address identified deficiencies in English and math based upon previous CST, KC, and benchmark assessment scores. Our real goal here is to give intervention before they take that first KC test. Teachers on campus are providing additional writing workshops for students in preparation for upcoming exams. This will move students from basic to proficiency and allow more students to pass the KC test. Looking at mathematics. As we reflected on our mathematics program this last spring, we realized that we needed to make some adjustments on our math program to get better results. With the help of our math consultant and math experts and the district office, we created a process to identify students who would normally not take advanced math courses and gave them an opportunity to succeed in geometry, providing them with a smaller student-teacher ratio of 20 to 1. At-risk students are now gaining access to higher-level math and A to G courses. With the help of the ROP, we have created an applied algebra course that is standards-based for students that would normally be taking math essentials. Now they are taking algebra taught in a different and more exciting manner. We are monitoring these classes to see if they are making a difference and evaluating their success. Both our 20 to 1 classes and our algebra, applied algebra, are showing great success based upon our first 6-week report card. But most of what we will be doing new this year has already been addressed school-wide. We will reassess the alignment of our courses to the state standards to ensure we are teaching to what the state says we should. We will identify students who are failing or need assistance based upon benchmark assessments and provide targeted intervention so that they can increase their proficiency rate on both their CST and pass their initial KC exam. English learners. English language learners are a subgroup at West Covina High School that are constantly addressing both the ELB classroom and core subject areas. To this end, all teachers teaching ELB and core subjects are EL certified. Teachers in the core areas and teachers school-wide have been and will continue to be in service on proper SDI strategies, which, as you know, is just good teaching. And it correlates well with our school-wide goal of differentiated instructional strategies. We have clustered our students more efficiently by skill level in our clustered and sheltered classes so that the range of EL levels in any one class isn't as wide. These core areas of English, math, science, and social studies are content-based, but at the same time, they are supported by instructional aides and assistance from our ELD coordinator. Our ELD teachers and coordinator are communicating and collaborating with our core content areas through our vertical teaming to ensure that they are transitioning properly. We are evaluating reasons why students are not reclassified or moving through the system in a timely manner. Instruction in ELD classes is focused on individual student performance analysis. Our ELD coordinator is working on areas where we can better motivate our students to do their best on this EST so that they can move out of the ELD designation. Taking a look at our students with disabilities, this past summer we restructured our collaborative classes so that we could provide team teaching in all core areas. All core courses, utilizing teams of core teachers with special education teachers and instructional aides. We are pushing service and support to the core content areas by providing special ed services in these classes. That way, students receive the benefit of both the core content curriculum and special services. To this end, we have provided training for both core and special ed teachers and aides to help them collaborate better and assist one another during the instructional period. Continued in-service is planned throughout the year. This was a considerable change in our special ed program, and we expect it to pay big benefits this year. Students below proficiency. Most of the interventions we have planned for in the other areas will apply here. But since these students are performing below proficiency, are the ones that we feel that we will be able to make the most advantage of. They will be a major focus. If we can move students from below proficiency to proficient, we will improve both our API and our proficiency rates, which are two of our primary goals for the year. As mentioned in several other areas, we will identify students' areas of difficulty based upon benchmark assessments, teacher recommendations, grades, and pre-assessments, and provide targeted instructional interventions so that they can increase their proficiency rate on both the CSP and pass the KC exam. Take a look at the future of West Covina High School. We have certainly adopted the district's goals and objectives of reaching an API of 800 and exceeding proficiency rates in both English, language arts, and mathematics. But we have future plans of maintaining our California Distinguished Dual School status, receiving a six-year CLEAR accreditation in 2011, and becoming a national Blue Ribbon school. These are goals that are very important to our school, to our teachers, to our students, and the community. And they will demonstrate our commitment to academic excellence. I want to thank you for having me give you a detailed report of what we are doing to raise student achievement at West Covina High School. Thank you.
At eighth grade, we've implemented the teaching kids algebra, the eighth graders in algebra. What impact did that have on the math programs in the high school?
Well, the biggest impact is we have far fewer kids taking algebra in high school. If you go back even 3 or 4 years ago, the majority of our students are now moving on to geometry and taking that as a freshman class. And so when you take a look at the students that are taking algebra in high school, they are students that generally have not succeeded in eighth grade. When you take a look at our CST scores, if you look at them, they're very low. But the numbers attached to that percentage are also very low. If you take a look at our geometry, they are better. And so that's the biggest impact. We think it's a very big plus that they're taking into algebra.
But are they coming into high school ready to be, yes, to get into geometry program as freshmen?
They are
succeeding. What percentage of kids take geometry coming out of 8th grade into the high school program?
You know, I'm gonna guess 70%, 60 to 70%. The majority of them are. It could be greater than that. I'm gonna ask Mr. Perez, who's taking notes for me, mm-hmm, and I'll get that percentage for you. And I'll let you know exactly what that percentage is.
But are they ready? And then the geometry is part of the required curriculum.
Geometry. We have a 3-year requirement for math.
Okay.
The 2-year, 3-year. We're encouraging our schools, our students, to take 5 or 4.
Four.
But we certainly want them to get through the A to G. Now, one of the things that I mentioned...
A to G, I'm sorry for the slow learners.
Go to the state-required courses.
These two know, I don't. Would you share with me?
The state requires, or to get into college, you must pass A to G to get into the university-level course of the schools. And so you have to pass to get half courses in A through G. What those A to G, I'm not sure, are. But one of those is math, and they have to get 3 levels of math is important. So taking geometry gets them into Algebra 2, which allows them to get into either statistics or calculus, pre-calculus, calculus AB, or calculus BC.
We don't do trigonometry. Is that
trigonometry is
three,
at least tied in.
30 years ago?
Trigonometry is generally tied in with
about
the pre-calculus.
About 20 years ago, thank you. I'm old. Yeah, thanks very much. I'm not sure. I'm on page 3 of this, what we have on it. Other indicators, where you talk about the master schedule, the number,
yes,
of students have access. Oh, I guess that's the A to G courses.
That's the A to G. Let me explain the A to G. What significant changes that we made this year in the master schedules will affect both of those. One is we looked at the master schedule last year. I'll take biology, for example. Last year, only students that came out of 8th grade and were considered honors biology students took biology as a ninth grader. Your average eighth grader did not take biology last year. Now, that's going to look really good on your CST scores. We were about 80% proficiency. But we have an awful lot of kids that are in earth science, which is not an A to G course. We, in my opinion, we have restricted those kids and not given them an easy path to the university. This year, we took a look at our master schedule. We said we're going to get most of our kids into biology and have fewer kids into earth science. Now, I'm telling you up front, that's a calculated risk on our part. We were taking a look at access to the A to G, getting them to go to college, getting graduation rates up, versus a CST score. Our biology CST score might not look as high next year because we have students that are not at honors level taking that test. But we're going to have a lot more kids pass it.
But are they ready to take the course, though?
I think for the most part they are. And what we've also done at the sophomore level, where they took earth science last year, and we typically go into, this is kind of a debate among science teachers. Regardless of what they do in earth science, do they move to biology, even though they've not done well, a D or an F, and we move them through the system because that's all we have? Or do we put them in some other type of non-college prep course like life science? We have chosen to try to come up with a compromise. And so what we have taken those kids that did not do well last year in earth science, and we're putting them into biology, but we're putting them into a class with 20-to-1 ratio. And so we hope that our goal is that we have a greater contact between the student and the teacher, and they have less of a load so that they can work with those students greater individually and help move them through. Again, as we looked at our six-week grades, our AB versus our DF, it's way in favor of the AB students. The kids are succeeding. Now, there's far more C's in there than we'd like to see. But our ABs versus our DFs are weighted to the AB. That's a positive sign to me. That's the same with our geometry classes, where we reduce them 20-to-1. The other exciting class that we opened, and that was with the help of ROP, they developed a standards-based algebra course, which is basically project-based, more interesting, more hands-on, less book learning.
More interesting than fundamental mathematics?
Yeah. Part of the leaf.
Stunning.
Better than book learning. And at least at the six-week grades, we have about a 70 to 80% pass rate in that class. These students typically would be taking Math Essentials. Therefore, they would not be taking a Math CST. Therefore, they would be getting that gift of 200, which keeps our API down. We're now at least going to give those kids an opportunity to, one, be successful in algebra, move on through the A to G requirements, and hopefully take higher level now, and two, give them the potential to score anything better than far below. And anything they do there is going to be bonus points for us in regards to API. So when we take a look at API, sometimes it's instruction. We kind of feel that most of it has to do with alignment. It's been a few years since we've taken a look at our pacing guides to make sure that they're in alignment with the states, and so we've really hit that hard.
Because that's part of one of your action statements where you said that we're going to assess and realign course content
and we are just
some pacing schedules.
We are completely
haven't been
right
doing that for the last couple of years. I mean,
yes,
I mean, is that just an ongoing basis thing? Standards haven't changed.
Blueprints that are released every year change slightly, and it's unfortunate. I think it's a matter of human nature. You did it 3 years ago, so are we going to really look at it again? And so, are we really analyzing? Have we reflected any changes in what the state is asking for on the blueprints?
Mm-hmm.
And so, we're looking at percentages. We're looking at the pace of when we offer certain aspects of that subject. You know, what is the order? Some of that's been dictated by the fact we're getting new books. In social studies, for one, we've got a new curriculum, and so that's necessitated it. But for the most part, I think that we've got teachers that are working really hard. They're giving great instruction in the class. And as we look at it, we think that we might be, taking a few leeways or bird walks off of the state standards. We need to get people back on the trail and teaching to what the state says is important.
My last question. Is there one or maybe two most motivating items that we're going to do in the next year, 2 years, to not only identify those that are below academic or not met academic proficiency, what is that factor that's going to get them motivated to get up to that level?
Good question.
And furthermore, what can we as a board do to help?
Money is always really good.
Okay, strike one.
So therefore, I'll take that goal while you can take your goal. As we looked at our intervention programs, which is really what the essence of what your question is, we have programs. Boost is basically in preparation for the CST. We do a rah-rah. We adopt students. We come in, we sit down with them, we show them their scores. this is what you are, you're weak in, what can I do to help you? But it could be a science teacher helping somebody in the area of math or English, whether they have that expertise or not. And so they're going to guide them, they're going to steer them, but they don't have the intervention capability to come in and actually give them the assistance. We have our after-school programs, tutoring, math, but the really important, the part about that is that's targeted to getting kids through class, through their courses. We want them to pass their classes. We want them to graduate. They're there to give them homework assistance, help them prepare for tests, help them keep their grades up, and help move them through curricularly through the school. Neither of those target interventions for kids where there are strands where they are deficient. And we all know that every student has deficiencies in certain areas in the subject areas. So the big bang for your buck is what we've been planning on. We're calling it our after-school academic performance program, ASAP, for the acronym. And what we're trying to do is target students at 9th and 10th grade who have yet to take the CSP so that we can give them intervention prior to taking that CSP. We use pre-assessments, we use grades, teacher recommendations, benchmark assessments, a number of different things that will indicate who those students will be. We'll incorporate parent meetings. We will give them after-school target intervention. We're right now looking at different programs. Standards Plus is a program that I've taken a look at. We've taken a look at Kaplan, which we're using in our KC classes. And we're coming up with programs where we can give them a pre-assessment. What are the areas that they need? We can give them targeted, consistent, explicit, direct instruction as opposed to just a warm-up. Now, many of our departments, English and Social Studies, have taken this challenge on as a department as well. And I know that chemistry has done it because I've observed that in class. But they are actually doing warm-up exercises where they have given a benchmark, realized that there's a strand missing, and they're giving that as their warm-up, and then going through the instruction on that to keep tying them up. 5 or 10 minutes of quick instruction, move on to their new instruction so they can keep pace with their pacing gap. But the biggest single thing is to try to identify those students prior to taking that KC test so we get first-time passers rather than intervention after the fact. If we do that, I think we hit the nail on the head.
Yes, I had the same question about that. We all have courses wondering why. Good to hear that line. I had a question in the data that you gave us. There wasn't a breakdown that I could find. Maybe there is. I just can find it when I look through it, of the difference between male students and female students. Because when you look nationwide, you know, female students are more likely to go to college. You know, more likely to graduate from high school. You know, all those things. And I was curious if we focused on the differences related to gender in high school instruction.
We didn't look at it as one of our other indicators. I did pull that because I kind of anticipated that question, and I'm right now in the process of mentally kicking myself for not bringing that data for you. But generally speaking, male and he's taking the notes. I will tell you that we are very close in taking a look at our CST scores. Male versus female, pass rates, proficiency rates are all pretty close to the same. I will tell you that when I was in our AP Physics classrooms yesterday, there was one female more in that class than girls, than boys. Excuse me. If you take a look at our other AP courses, they're pretty evenly. So our students that are on track at that highest level of AP and honors are pretty even. And as I looked at the CSP scores, they are the same. But I have that data, and I'll send that to you.
A question on English language learners and reclassification. How many English language learners do you get? Because the high school, some of the high school, you get kids that started out in elementary school and middle school, not always, obviously. How many students are you getting English language in that category of ELL that have been through our system, or are they people that just enrolled recently, or do you have a breakdown on that?
When you take a look at our ELL program, we have in the vicinity of about 600 students. We have about 178 EL students. Of those students that are still EL, Those that have been in the system for more than 5 years, we have about 80 to 90 of those students. Of those,
so about half of them?
About half of them have been with more than 5 years. Some of those are less than 5 years. And some of those are coming to us straight from other countries. Some are coming to us for the first year as a freshman that we haven't had a chance to work with.
But if you take
a look at the dichotomy, you've got one that's been here for a couple, two or three years, about half. The other half is sitting at 8, 9 years. They're just, I guess, what you call as lifers. And taking a look at what those students are, they're students that aren't passing the CSTs for us. And so they need to get that pass that CST so that they can go on and get things out.
I guess that's the question I have. You know, obviously, you know, if a student enrolls, you know, as a freshman and that's the first time they've been enrolled in an American school, I mean, there's not much you can do about that. But
if they've been here for 10 years and in our system for that long,
that's my question.
Corollary to that, of those that come in at that level, how many of them haven't met proficiency in their original language?
I don't know the answer to that. And I don't know that we even test that in their own.
No, I don't think we do. I don't.
But you know, I guess that's a question, you know, for staff, you know, that I have is, you know, the focus on those EL students that have been with them for a long period of time. You know, kind of, you know, because obviously they're not helping. Well, in my view, they're not helping themselves. They're also not helping. You know, I mean, when you look at the score data, they can't be scoring over basic.
And we're looking at. As we talk to those students, and as our ELD coordinator talks to those students, and she's been teaching in the departments for 6 to 7 years now, it's a motivation. For some of those, they just feel comfortable there. And I will tell you, just because I have a different experience with this district and my previous district, that's truly the exception. This district does a very good job, I think, overall, of getting kids into the program, getting them to pass, and getting moved into redesignated. What's nice about that is once we know that they're redesignated, they are generally some of our best scorers in regards to our CSDs and cases. So we really want to get them there. They are high-performing students. But at least the impression that I have that West Covina, the district does, I think our district moves kids through that system quicker. Unfortunately, we have some that don't move. In my previous district, not a knock on them, it's a much bigger district, but a lot of them seem to stay in the program for much longer. I was surprised for 3,000 students to have only 178 ELs, 6%.
On the page 2, the analyst, the summary of the census of the cases.
Uh-huh.
Results, it looks like there's an 80% pass rate.
Right.
And I'm wondering if that includes the 10th grade special ed students.
Yes, includes all students.
And then it had gone on to say that you wanted, for the special ed, that you wanted to ensure that all students pass the KC exam in order to graduate.
No, the KC is the initial pass, as sophomores.
Right.
Last year, I don't believe. Well, we have the special situation this year where the governor didn't find that.
Right.
And so now we have to get those kids to graduate. They now have to pass that Casey, and they will be part of all the intervention programs that we've been talking about.
Well, and in the past, they weren't in the count. That's why I was asking if they were in the count this time.
To my knowledge, that's all of our students. I could be wrong about that. I kind of take the data as it did. But I believe that included them. But if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Then a lot of students have modifications written into their IEP. Mm-hmm. And I know it's just not our district, it's across the state. The students are discouraged from taking the exam with the modifications that are written into their IEP because it looks like a fail.
That's correct.
And I know it's happening in our district too because I've had some parents question me on it. When do we start looking at the modifications written in and encouraging them to start using those modifications?
I think.
And I'm talking about spell check, the calculator, things that alter what they're testing.
I don't know about the spell check. The calculators are typical, dictionaries are typical modifications that are used on this test. And I know that I sat in IEPs in which they have been written in, and we have encouraged them to take them. As a matter of fact, I think as you received your request at the end of the year about graduating and allowing those students to graduate with the modifications, you have come across students that in their IEPs show modifications, but they don't actually use them.
Right.
Because I think what the situation you're talking about. And they pass, yet because it was written in the modification and the bubble was bubbled, we have to now fight back and forth with Sacramento to get that. But I don't know how which way that can swing, which are more this way or more that way. But the bottom line is, the students that are taking those modifications should be encouraged to use them. That's what they need to pass the test.
Right.
And that's the level. Now, will the state allow that to be counted as a pass? They haven't in the past, and I don't know what the governor has in mind. I know he didn't sign it. He said there's other things coming down the pipe. Nobody knows what that is, but we have to take it at face value at this point. Those students are not going to be graduating based upon their CFP. So that's what
they could receive their diploma with the waiver. They'll receive their diploma. Nobody else will know, but it won't look like on our report card, the district, it'll look like a fail, although they actually passed. But it puts the student into catch 22 where they've been given the tools to be successful in school, and they'll be able to use it in college and in the workplace.
Yeah, and but more than encouraged. They'd actually be expected that.
Right. So what I'm hearing from, and just not in our district, but across the state, is that because it looks like a fail, that they're being discouraged, at least at first, not to use the modifications that are written in.
It's interesting because I'm not sure exactly what looked like a fail is. You know, they consider it a fail. 350, fail. 350 is a pass for most of us. But it does come back as a fail on our reports. But because you do have the waiver, those students are graduating and are walking through the lines. And I am not privy to what their board has decided to do, but if that's what you're going to continue to do, I commend them. But I think that it is kind of a catch-22. You know, prior to this year, if you were special ed and you took the test in good faith and you took it a number of times and you just didn't pass it, you could still walk this year's board. And what that impact is, I'm not sure. From our standpoint, we're going to treat them like all our other kids. We're going to put it into a content-based core class. We're going to give them instructional aids. We're going to team teach. We're going to give them special ed assistance, and we're going to try to get them through passing the CFP.
I appreciate what you've done, and introducing all students to core curriculum is marvelous. I was just wondering about the modifications, how that was going to...
It's a big change. That's kind of, you know, muddy water for us. We're not sure exactly how it's going to play itself out.
Benchmarks, how often do you take them?
Departments are giving them at different paces. The majority, I believe, are giving them at about 6 weeks. We have some departments that are giving them at 9.
And then who makes up the exam?
The teachers set the curriculum. I believe they give it to Kim Christie, who's not here tonight, and then she'll put it into EduSoft and then create the test and then give it back to them.
You mean they create? They give them the curriculum, like the
standards. They identify the strands and the standards, and then she'll identify that on the test. She'll create the test and give it so they can assess the test, and it's given on Scantron.
Okay, having gone through the standards. Are you saying that the teachers are hitting every standard and every...
No.
Okay,
That's where your alignment comes in.
Right.
As you take a look at the blueprints, what the blueprints are going to tell you is that 40% of this English test is going to cover this standard. And then it's going to break it down by strand, by the number of questions based upon that area. And so as we develop our benchmarks, we're going to try to mirror that as best as we can so that we are hitting it. 40% of our instruction is on cell biology, for instance. I don't think it would, that's like 16%. But if cell biology is 16%, then that's where we're going to spend 16% of our time. 16% of our questions are going to deal with cell biology, and we're going to try to get as accurate a view as we can on that. If there's another area, then we're going to try to spend a greater amount where it is. Now, our thing is, in our realignment and why it changes, And in what order do we teach that? You know, do we need, have we gone through this now 2 or 3 or 4 years, do we need to teach a little cell biology and then go into some other area so that they can get that and then build upon that and then re-come back and pick up the remainder? How that is done is different. And I will tell you, our challenge is if we're going through a science adoption and every science publisher thinks that they have the answer, none of them do. But they all have their own pacing value. And they want you to buy into it 100%. And it's real easy for our teachers to say, I like this pacing guide. This is the one I want to use. Well, the bottom line is that pacing guide might or might not be really good for our students. So we need to take a look at our most current data, which is generally our benchmark. We do look at previous CSTs, but sometimes it's not relevant, going from biology to chemistry. So looking at our benchmark assessments, we want to see if that's truly what our students need. If our students don't need as much in cell biology, and they need a little more in this macro area, then that's where we need to spend a little more time. And so we need to look at our most current data, and generally that comes from our benchmark.
Okay, so and then you send it over to EduSoft, and EduSoft generates
it? We send it to Kim Christie, who puts it into EduSoft form so that we can do it on a standpoint.
So they're kind of taking the curriculum and regenerating the test questions that come back. So it isn't a matter of the teacher generating the question that came out of their notes for that period.
No, it's more looking at those standards and the strands. And I don't know all the particulars. I can't maybe give you a little better idea on how that works. One of the challenges that West Covina faces that I didn't face in my previous district is, for instance, in any subject area, we had 4 high schools there. So they got together and they set the district-wide pacing guide. They set their benchmarks, and you had students from one school that they feel that, you know, this is too easy, this is too hard. You get all different perspectives. But at the end of the day, after they've created their blueprints and their pacing guides and all of the benchmarks that they're going to do, they come to some consensus that they can all live with. But you have different perspectives. When you're doing it with one school, you're dealing with 2 or 3 teachers, and therefore it's a little more difficult to get different perspectives. Everybody has their own. It's just a little different perspective. We're all dealing with the same kids.
So you give the feedback on this benchmark. Then you say you go back and reteach it.
We will go back. The key is, and this is the skill that the teachers have, is that we've got a pacing guide that says, move on, doggy.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah, right.
But at the same time, you forgot, you know, mitosis over here. Well, if you don't know mitosis, you're going to have a tough time moving on in cell biology. And so, therefore, how am I going to go back and reach back in and pick that up? And so, even though they're going into a different area, we need to go back and refer back to the mitosis, so that they can bring it in, readdress it, and do it that way. I mentioned earlier about the warm-up exercises and the warm-up exercises, which are a little bit more than what we used to call in the good old days sponge activities while we're taking roll. They become more explicit direct instruction. We're going to have the kids work on it, but then we're going to explain it and walk through it with them. And so in a couple of areas, that's what they've chosen to do. I know I've witnessed that in chemistry, I've witnessed it in social studies, and I've witnessed it in English.
Okay. Explain further on this modification of special ed, and Casey. Explain from your perspective what you see as the head administrator there.
Regarding the Casey?
And modifications from special ed.
Other than just going through what I just said, the Casey, right now the Governor Schwarzenegger is no longer allowing special ed students to graduate. Okay, I guess we have the waiver effect, which I'm not all that familiar with.
Well, special ed students that have not passed the Casey.
Passed the Casey, exactly.
Without modifications. Okay. So
those with modifications, they would be taking it. They would mark which modifications they would use. But once they put modifications as part of their test, the state's going to mark, regardless of what their test score is, they'll consider it a fail.
So it comes back to you whether you want to grant a waiver or not. To
it
you.
It comes back to me, and we submit that to you.
Yeah, but it comes back to you first.
That is correct.
To make a determination.
Yes, and we have to make those recommendations to you.
And you base that upon what?
We base that upon the fact that they've taken the test in good faith. They've taken it, for instance, a senior could take it 2 or 3 times. I think this year could even take it more.
Yeah.
And so as long as they're taking it with modifications, and they're scoring it and not just getting, you know, A, then we think they're doing well, we're going to forward that on to you.
And so then you would send the recommendation up to us based upon that.
I would send it to this deal.
Which everything comes in her office.
Of course. That's what you call passing the buck. Yeah. Okay. We do it very well.
Sounds like you have a lot of work.
I would tell you we have a lot of work, but it's good work.
I just had, a question about, you mentioned money, you get a lot more money.
Sure.
And, of course, every time you do a 21 class and all these different things, that costs us money.
Yes, I want to thank you.
So you should know that. But one of the things I had a question about was when we have these classes, do we assign, our best teachers those classes where they need the most work? How do we do that with, it's one thing to use it for 21, that's good, but do we assign our best staff or the staff that has the most success and reaching those kinds of kids with that, or how is the staffing and how is it?
That'd be pretty good. In geometry, for instance, we have Brian Mercer, who as a principal, I probably shouldn't rate teachers, but he's certainly one of our best math teachers. He worked with our students in the before school tutoring program. He's one of our finest teachers.
So is that something we look at then? Is which teacher
is
best match for?
However,
types of kids?
I will give you the other end. We have one of our new teachers, Larry Leonard, also teaching the same class. And so they are working as a team, working with their students, and so that they're trying to stay in phase and using those instructional strategies. And that's one of those conversations that we have at our CRTs on Fridays.
New teachers aren't necessarily bad teachers.
No. And he's not new to teaching. He's just new to West.
Yeah. So, I'm just trying to make sure that, because I think that's sometimes an issue where, some teachers try to, cherry pick responses they have.
Sure.
Or whatever. To be frank about it, which ones we're teaching, and I just want to make sure that our best teachers are being assigned, to the students that need to have the most need.
I think we try to do that to the best of our ability.
And by the way, the state's hurting for money in case.
Oh, they are?
Yeah. So your education might
be. I think we're all hurting for money.
Your education might not turn out like some people thought.
Just briefly, I want to thank Brad and Ellie and Ms. Pickett for the preparation that goes into this. One of the discussions that we had at the principal's meeting was the difficulty of trying to squeeze in all of the information that we work in daily into a 20-minute presentation, and then
we did a pretty good job.
Another 20 minutes of questions. Obviously, everything that we bring before you, the proof is in the execution of the plan,
yeah.
And we will be watching very carefully those abilities and skills so that we can make sure that we get the right results. But I think in terms of what you've seen tonight is being the first one up. I think Brad, being the only high school in this district, has done a thoughtful presentation and a thoughtful job, and I just want to thank you.
Thank you very much. I do want to thank Jan and Ellie. They've been terrific, along with Kim Chrissy and helping us do this presentation. It's gone through several different modifications. So.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, in closed session this evening, we have one item to report out, following action was taken in closed session. It was moved by first floor and second by Cole, and approved to expel all a pupil from the district, student number 189494, for assault on a security guard, and the vote was 5-0. Okay, anything else to report? Any other board education report? Nothing. Student Brett.
Okay.
First, do you want to give us the update on? I won't embarrass you more than I already have.
Okay. We held the SAT on the campus for the first time last weekend, or the weekend before that. Last week, all week, we're doing KC testing, and under 200 students were tested, and less than 200 were tested in math. Food fair was last Friday. The football game on Thursday was senior night, and we won, which means we're going to CIF. So not only in football, but in water polo, which is a great accomplishment because we haven't done that since, 12 years. Mm-hmm. And for CIF, for cross country, we went to CIF. And the next band and color guard field show is next Tuesday, and it's Trophy Night. It's the first band competition that will be held on West Covina campus because of our new field. And Sunday Dance Drill, last Sunday Dance Drill performed at Disneyland. And Wednesday, this coming Wednesday from 6 to 8, is a parent education study night at West Covina.
Thank you very much. I have no official request from the public to speak to the board, but if there's anybody who'd like to address the board at this time, we'll go to the organizational meeting and approval of the agenda consent. Is there anybody that would like to add an item to consent? Anybody to remove an item to consent? Number 8. Move as amended. First item on the agenda is the Thunder nomination. I'd like to throw this to Cammie for her educated.
I would like to nominate Cammie Polis specifically.
Maybe give her an opportunity to say no thanks, I don't want to do it, but fine.
Oh, but you have to talk about the post stop thing.
All right. And it's just the one name?
So we'll put in another one.
Bolador? Anybody else?
It's not me.
I'm not just nominating. Okay. Did we vote? Not yet. I was just figuring out who moved the executive. Did you get that? I don't know where I would have. Any objections? Motion carried, 5-0. Mr. Foley, you asked number 8 to be removed?
Yes, I do.
Startled
by the number of multiple subject persons who are being moved into secondary subjects at San Jose. Seems like how many secondary students are there over there? How many secondary teachers are there?
Well, this is
I'm sorry. I'm just kind of looking around. How many secondary teachers are there over there?
I don't think we really know.
But I think, Mr. Foley, you're asking in terms of the number of multiple subject teachers who are usually elementary teachers at the secondary level.
Right. I mean, I have heard over and over again, we have credentialed teachers at Edison. We're hiring credentialed teachers. We have all these things coming in. And then, so I'm assuming that when they say that, they're going out and recruiting secondary teachers with secondary credentials in their subject area, coming in to teach the subject. Then I'm suddenly startled by 6 people who have multiple subjects and credentials saying, we're short of personnel, we have to elevate these secondary teachers and allow them to teach in the area. And it just, something isn't computing here after all the rhetoric I've heard about how we have credentialed teachers that San Jose has over and over and over again. I
would like to let you know, though, that we did go back through the past persons that we have served, that we have actually brought to board, and there were 8 from Edgewood through this whole fall area, 8 teachers, 4 from Holland Crest, and 2 from West Covina High School. So even though there is 6 here from Edison, there have been not large numbers, but some numbers from other schools as well.
Yeah, right. I'm kind of thinking about, first off, I remember from Edgewood, there's a number of special ed personnel.
Correct.
Right. So that kind of accounts for some.
Well, why? What's the difference?
Well, special ed is an extreme shortage of personnel.
So is math.
I haven't seen that. I see that in special ed.
Okay, what is going on with this multiple subject is in they're having their secondary teachers departmentalized with a multiple subject credential. And what they should be doing is having them teach English and social studies, coring the students, and having them teach double periods, having the same kids more than one period in a classroom. And they're not doing that. And what we need to be doing is watching them, making sure that they do not have this done again. And the second thing is that some of these people can probably apply for supplemental credentials, which would allow them to, and we've never made them do this before in the past. And we're really cleaning up some of the past.
Okay, well, then if I vote no, that'll kind of send the message that we're kind of watching them over here.
Should we all vote no, then? Send the message.
I want to reconsider the ones from Hollycrest, Edgewood, and West Covina. I mean, if we're going to have this new standard, I think we should hold all our schools to that same standard.
I voted for those. It's a whole different issue in terms of those schools, because in terms of those schools, it's a secondary teacher that is in a department. For example, at Edgewood, it could be a secondary teacher that's teaching 5 periods and then teaches the 0 period or the additional period, and it's still a secondary teacher. It's not an elementary teacher teaching secondary subjects. So that's one issue. The other issue is that in hiring, we are looking for candidates that have, of course, the specialty in the subject area and in the grade level area. And what we are working with, because of NCLB, is making sure that we make progress in that area. That's what we have to bring into the board, because part of the requirement is that you acknowledge that this is going on.
Right, and usually when we approve these, like we have for the other three schools I've mentioned, you know, there gives them a period of time to go ahead and get the secondary or supplemental credential necessary to teach. I mean, that's been our normal practice, you know, throughout the last few years. I mean, we've done teacher union presidents at this table where we've approved a waiver and allowed them to then over the next year go ahead and get the rest of their supplemental credential.
Yeah.
And so I'm just confused on why suddenly we pick out one school out of all our schools where we're doing it, you know, to suddenly have a problem with it. Well, maybe I'm not confused. I know exactly what the problem is. But I just think that it's unfair to have a new standard set in place when we've done this for teachers, you know, throughout our district.
Well, I think proportionality at Edison is different from proportionality at other schools. However, the standard is the same for all, because we didn't set that standard, and CLB set that.
I understand that.
So I understand what you're saying in terms of that's got to be what we look at throughout the district.
Absolutely.
Is there a motion on the side?
One second.
We moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion passes 4-1. Mr. Fuller saying no. Number 9, the appointment of part-time psychologist.
Thank you. Board members, we have found a very good candidate for the part-time position for our PIT program, and the psychologist will be sharing the position here and also in Bonita, and we'd like your approval to appoint this person to our PIT program.
Margaret Parker.
Been moved and seconded. Any objections? Motion passes 5-0. With that, that's the end of this evening's meeting. November 22nd, 23rd is the Thanksgiving holiday. And the moment is the next meeting of the Board of Education comes. You didn't say anything earlier, and now all of a sudden you got something. I didn't hear it.
But I would like to congratulate Mr. Koch, Mr. Smith.
Oh, in that case, fine. Go ahead.
For the fine re-election and campaign.
Thank you.
It was a fine campaign, and I think it carries our district well. The incumbents were re-elected. I also like to put up for discussion. There's a method that the city of West Covina uses in rotation for their mayor and for different offices within the board, within the city council, and that's up for discussion to be agendized next time. See if we would like to follow that type of scenario where we have a rotation policy.
I don't think the city has a method.
They subverted it, but they do have a policy.
So maybe if the right superintendent wants to buy that, we can discuss it.
Any else? Motion to adjourn.